Hey, 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 this is Ty from Breaker Culture, and this is episode 71.
Welcome to Breaker Culture Weekly. The guys from BreakerCulture.com help pull back the curtains and give you insight into the hobby. Sit back and enjoy interviews, product breakdowns, and hobby analysis so you can get your edge in the marketplace. And now, to the show.
All right, I'm excited to have you here for episode 71. Today, I get to sit back and chat with a gentleman named Ed from AIAB Breaks. And I came across Ed when I was doing some research for some stuff for Breaker Culture. And I came across AIAB, and it's one of those things where I just kind of got sucked in. And I sat there and I watched the breaks, and I thought, man, this is really, really original. This is something that's a little authentic in the industry. And I sat there and I kept watching, and before long I was there for an hour. And yeah, he has a way about him. He's one of those guys where you meet and you realize, you know what? He is 100% himself. He is authentic. And he takes his arcade experience. He used to run an arcade, and he's got this infatuation with game shows, and he kind of brings it all together to create an experience with group breaks that I think is just very unique. And so today you get to hear his story. And we talk, again, for about an hour and 15 minutes. We break down kind of everything that he puts into his breaks and really the thought process he has when he's putting together his group breaks. And he's built a pretty unique community. He focuses on those types of breaks that are kind of the forgotten products, the products that are hanging out there sometimes. And he's able to go in and scoop them up and do pretty economically pleasing breaks. And so that's always fun. But here's the deal. So we partnered up, and I said, you know what, we should do something fun for the audience on this one and kind of give them a chance to see your style. And so if you're listening to this on iTunes, all you have to do is go to YouTube, type Breaker Culture, or just click the link in the show notes here, or go to Twitter. You'll see the link. We have this episode on YouTube, and all you have to do is go to YouTube and comment on the YouTube podcast link for this episode, episode 71. And seriously, all you have to do is answer one question. What is your favorite game show or board game? That's it. Put your comments in the comments on the YouTube link. And Ed is going to randomize everyone that comments. And you got to be a subscriber. So I'll make sure you always subscribe to what Breaker Culture is doing and what AIAB is doing. So subscribe to both of us. And we're going to randomize those names, and Ed's going to put 10 of you in an upcoming Bowman baseball draft that he's doing. You're going to get three teams, literally free, three teams for his Bowman draft. And you get to see how he does a snake draft. He has a software that's built out for this. So it's really pretty fun. So props to him for giving that away and letting you jump in for that. So yeah, be sure to go comment on the YouTube link. Favorite game show or board game? That's it. Listen to the episode, enjoy the conversation with Ed, and as always, thank you so much for supporting Breaker Culture. Have an incredible week. We'll catch you on the back end of this.
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. I'm glad we could finally line this up.
For sure.
So are you packaging cards right now? Is that what you're doing? I know it's late at night.
I am. I was watching a stream, one of the auction streams, and doing some packaging, shipping stuff day after a break, you know.
Oh, yeah. So what do you normally put in the background? Do you normally put, like, competitor streams, your own stream? What do you put in the background when you're packaging?
I don't really know that I consider anybody competitors, but there's two streamers I like. There's Back in the Game Collecting. Mm-hmm. He does like personal breaks and stuff, but he does something kind of interesting with set breaks. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
No.
So he gets like, or he's had like vintage sets. So he'll have like a top set of 73 tops. And what he does is he breaks it up into like 11 to 15 card packs. and each one of them he puts like a Hall of Famer or a star in, and then basically you buy those packs. So you have a chance of getting like the Clemente if you happen to get that pack, but you're going to get at least something decent.
Interesting. So, okay.
I've been on this kick of 85 Fleer, which for whatever reason is like my nostalgia button. So I've been buying 85 Fleer a lot from him.
Nice. So what is, I mean, is it relatively good priced?
Yeah. Like the 85 Fleer packs are like $4, and I think you get like 15 cards. And I pulled the Kirby Puckett the other day, so that was exciting. So, and like the older ones, like I think I did a 73 and it was like $13 maybe for the pack or something like that. And he pulled me a Yaz, so I was excited about that too.
Nice.
So it's cool because you know you're going to at least get something out of it.
That's awesome. So in the 85 Fleer, because it was the Puckett was rookie, right?
Puckett and Clemens, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Because, I mean, Ryan was not a rookie, obviously.
Right.
Cool. That's awesome. I had not heard of that. That's a really interesting take on breaks.
Yeah, it's kind of cool, especially with the older stuff.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
when,
sure.
You know, buying a box costs $2,000, whereas if you have a set or can get a set, it's probably not the same price.
Right. Yeah, very true. So AIAB card breaks. I've been intrigued by what you've been doing because you recently started, but I was just attracted to kind of your style. It was a little bit different than others, and it took us about 7 weeks to finally coordinate a good time for our schedules.
Yeah.
But so give listeners a little bit of the background of kind of how you got started and what that actually means, what that acronym means, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah. So it's kind of interesting. AIAB actually stands for Arcade in a Box. I used to own, I still own a company called Arcade in a Box. I used to build custom arcade panels for like home use.
Really?
Like, you know, to play like retro arcade games and stuff on.
Okay.
It was basically, you can like buy them on Amazon now, like a much smaller version, but they were like big wooden boxes with a computer and everything built into them. And then they just plugged into your TV and it had like two arcade controllers and trackball and all that stuff on it and had like thousands of games on it.
Interesting.
So that's where the Arcade in a Box came from, because it was literally an arcade in a box. And then that kind of migrated into making custom arcade controllers for consoles, like single controllers for like professional Street Fighter players that go to like Evo and compete and all that stuff.
Okay.
So I was building custom controllers for them, and then that kind of blew up, and then that moved into building opening an arcade or a gaming center where those guys, those professional Street Fighter players would come and train, and then we would run tournaments and stream tournaments and do all that kind of stuff with commentators. It was like our own little esports before esports.
That's incredible. So what year was this? Give us some context here.
Let's see. It was around the time Street Fighter 4 came out, which I think was 09.
Gosh.
So,
okay.
Probably like 2010, 2009, 2010, we were doing the tournaments and that type of stuff. So actually one of the guys that trained here in Tucson took second place at Evo, I think.
I like how you said Evo. Just the fact that you said trained. I love it.
Yeah, they called it like their dojo. It was pretty cool.
That was so cool.
Game, but it was a place for them to go and not get charged a lot of money. And, you know, and with those type of games, training like one-on-one with other people so you can learn what you're doing rather than just online. You know, it was more like an arcade experience than than just being online with some faceless person.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So why did you give that up then? Because that sounds like that was pretty neat. Was the money not there?
The money was never really there. our big money came doing, I would do like birthday parties on the weekends. Because I had like arcade machines and all kinds of stuff in the arcade. So I would do birthday parties on the weekends. And that was like, that's what kept it going. But I'm like, man, I'm gone like every weekend, which is terrible. Because I still had a real job.
Yeah.
Besides this. And then we got broken into a couple times. And then I was just like, you know what? It's not worth it anymore.
So we did one
final big tournament and then we just shut it down.
Got it. What does someone break in and steal from an arcade?
We had like, you know, 30 Xboxes and
PlayStation. Oh, gotcha.
Yeah, okay. We had a lot of that stuff. They stole the video camera recording thing, and
so that's frustrating.
Yeah, it was. So.
So if you were to decide on owning a pretty popular card shop or a pretty popular arcade shop, what would you choose now that you've done that?
Man, could you like combine the two? You could have like retro arcade on one side and like, you know, kind of like they have comic shops in cards. You could have like retro arcade cards.
That's a great idea. I mean, because I do think there's probably tons of overlap between those.
Slash bar.
Exactly. Or coffee shop, right?
Or coffee shop.
Of course, yeah. Let the kids in there. So for my son's birthday in July, we got him one of those arcade one-up systems. I think it's what they're called, right? The Street Fighter one. And we're actually working on customizing it now. We're getting like the Raspberry Pi.
Oh, nice.
And we're trying to do it all together. But I've been watching a ton of videos. You could probably do it in like 2 seconds, but...
Yeah, it's funny. Like I see that stuff now, and I'm like, man, I was fitting like an entire size computer in a box. Like, and I think I started in '99, so it was like, you know, it was a big box. It was like 36 inches by like 12 inches. I mean, it was a big wooden box.
No kidding.
Yeah, now I look like the Raspberry Pi. And I'm like, oh, I could like stick that in a little tiny arcade stick.
That's so true. Yeah, you literally could put that thing in your back pocket. I mean, that thing is so efficiently produced. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So arcade in a box, that's what AIAB stands for. So kind of, let's talk about the shift then. What started happening?
Yeah. So I kind of just there's a YouTuber named Jabs, which most people probably know. I don't know. Probably someday popped up on my YouTube feed because he's really popular. And just started watching that. And I was like, well, what's going on here with like he's opening packs for other people? This is crazy. So, of course, I, you know, dug deeper and started. And I collected baseball cards, you know, up until the 90s, like most people my age. And then stopped. And I've kind of collected a little bit. Like, I'd buy a hobby box every couple years just to scratch the itch.
So you were at least staying aware of what was happening with cards.
Yeah. And I've always followed baseball. So I never, like, went away from the actual baseball. But...
Yeah.
The cards themselves, you know, I didn't realize there was, you know, 85 different parallels to every card and numbered and autos and hits and all this stuff. Like, I would just buy a hobby box of Tops.
Yeah.
Like, oh, what's in here? Oh, cool. Okay. I didn't happen to buy a 2011 update. You know, that would have been nice.
That would have been. My goodness. Yeah.
So I saw the stream and I was like, what is this breaks thing? And then I started doing some research and be like, oh, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then kind of joined a few breaks from a couple of like the really big breakers. And my first breaks I got into were 2019 Bowman. And as a Red Sox fan, it's not a great set for you. So, and not knowing that, you know, I was like, oh, wow, I got one JD Martinez card. That was cool. And it happened to be a company that didn't ship everything. You know, the chrome, I think they just shipped the chrome and any other like numbered or hit. So I got like 8 chrome Chavises and Matas, and then I got one JD Martinez that was numbered to 500, and I was like, well, that was kind of cruddy. So and then I started researching a little bit more and being like, okay, Bowman's probably not the greatest set. But as I watched more breakers, I was like, man, there's, you know, a lot of the cameras are just terrible and they're like autofocus and bad reception. And I'm like, man, this just doesn't look good. And it's hard to see the cards. And nobody really does like an actual stream. Well, the few guys do on Twitch, like Banff, and I think it's a Card Breakers company.
What do you mean by stream? Like actual stream?
Like a lot of breakers, it seems like they just use a cell phone, right? And kind of point it towards in front of them. And then that's what they record off of. Or maybe they have a webcam like that. Whereas a full stream setup is, you know, you have streaming software. You have multiple camera angles going on at once. You have scenes that you can switch in and out to show different things.
Okay.
So that's kind of what I mean by like a full stream setup. I don't know.
Got it. Okay.
Am I explaining that well?
Yeah.
Or like production, I guess you could call it, maybe.
Interesting. Yeah, I think you're right for sure. I would say so, there's probably more that are doing it now, but yeah, for sure.
Right. And I think early on, a couple of my earlier breaks too were on Instagram, and like Instagram's kind of like this Wild West.
No kidding.
Breaking. So, and a lot of the, and that's probably where I got most of the impression of they're just using phones with like their data plan, and like the reception's terrible. Can't see anything. You know, zooming right. in on the laptop monitor to show stuff. There was that aspect that I didn't like. And then there was the breakers that just kind of fly through everything, just looking for the hits. And to me, I don't know, it just felt kind of gross. It was just kind of like this, none of these cards are worth anything. So let's just rip through these packs as fast as we can, find the good stuff, and just kind of chuck these off to the side. So I didn't like that aspect either. So I was like, if I'm going to do this, I'm not going to break a ton of boxes, and I'm just going to kind of go through and I'll read each player's name if I can say them, and just kind of show each card as you go. Because there's times where I've been in breaks and I've like paused to see like what cards I'm actually getting in this break, because you know, you kind of want to know.
I'm assuming you had that moment where you thought, you know what, there's probably an opportunity here for someone to do this a little bit differently. Right. Is that the first statement?
Yeah. I think one thing that I really drove at from the beginning was coming together with people that were in the breaks.
Yep.
As not like my hands doing the breaking and not a whole lot of interaction between me and the people that had bought into the break.
Okay.
So there was that aspect, and then the people that don't get anything, like any hits in the break.
Yep.
Because that always stinks. You know, if you're paying money and you're getting none of the hits.
Yeah.
So I decided to take kind of those two things, and that's kind of what I modeled my my breaking style after.
Okay.
So the community's big, and then I have other activities that go on during the break or after the break that give people a chance to maybe win something. I try to be a little bit more entertaining. So even if it's 2 hours that you don't get a whole lot, maybe you're at least had a good time. So you spent $10 or whatever to be entertained for 2 hours.
Which is, it's funny you say that, because that's the main thing that stuck out to me is I probably watched your break longer than I have any other break in a long time. Because like I just kept watching thinking, why can I not stop watching this?
Oh, that's cool.
It's like that late night TV show that you end up staying up till 1 a.m. to watch. No, but it's good. No, it is good, because there's a little piece of what you do that just is a little bit more real, more, it just connects with you a little bit better. So I think you kind of found something, which is kind of neat.
Okay.
So what, when you started AIAB and you said, okay, you kind of figured out the direction you wanted to go, at what point did you realize, you know what, there is a big enough audience for me to do this? Because I mean, I guess my initial thought would have been there's no way there's enough people out there that want to break this way.
Right.
But when have you started to notice that, you know what, there is enough people out there?
I don't know if I thought there was at the beginning.
Okay.
I was kind of like, well, I'm going to buy some boxes and try to sell them. If whatever people don't buy, you know, cool, cards for me.
Yeah.
That's
right.
So that's kind of the way the first break went, was, you know, I think somehow I filled probably 60% of it, 70% of it.
Okay.
Which was pretty good. I mean, I probably gave away many of those, or like, you know,
don't tell anybody,
half off or two for ones or something. I absolutely made zero money on the first several breaks. But I think, and I didn't even have like the game shows and the draft and all that, which we could talk about in a little bit, but I didn't have like all that quote unquote entertaining stuff back then. I was just saw other people's breaks and I was like, oh yeah, I'll sell per team, or I'll just do a random team thing. And early on, I think maybe the first four breaks were either random or, you know, I sold by the team.
Got it. Okay.
Which was not fun. So
not fun because you couldn't fill it. Is that what you mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, you're basically giving away the last six teams or something.
Yep. Right.
You know, it's very difficult.
When you say buying boxes, you're, what was kind of your MO? Were you buying retail boxes? Were you going out and figuring out good deals on hobby boxes? What was your thought there?
Actually, my first, so what I did at first is I hooked up with some distributors earlier. Since AIAB, Arcade in a Box, was already a business, I already had a business license, I already had a sale or a tax exempt form.
Yeah.
I had all that stuff already. So I could sign up with distributors that, you know, would have me.
Right.
So I actually, first off, I bought, I think, maybe two or three hobby boxes, and I just broke them on my YouTube channel, like, for myself, just to kind of see what was out there, what the products were like, figured out which ones I liked, sort of, or which ones were cheaper, and then bought more for the first break. So I did get them at wholesale price.
Yes.
So, you know, whether I sold them or not, it was, like I said, it was just some more cards for me. So I did have that aspect of it down. So I kind of knew the pricing and what I was going to be paying for stuff. It was the allocation later on that I learned about that was going to be a little bit more difficult to jump into that or jump that hurdle there.
Wait, breakers get allocated?
I don't know.
Oh, what?
Yeah. I mean, I don't spend nearly as much money to get allocated anyways. Yeah. So that was a way I also had to kind of shift my focus of how I was going to do breaks also.
Got it.
Based on the fact that I couldn't get the new stuff right when everybody else got it.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. You're navigating the waters that a lot of these group breakers are trying to figure out. And honestly, a lot of the customers just understand that. The hassle and the frustrations you have to go through just to get that right, just to get the four boxes,
right?
It's not as easy as you think,
right?
At least to sell it at least a price that helps you make a little bit of margin,
right? Exactly. I mean, you're not going to compete with people doing case breaks and that like that was never my goal. I mean,
yeah,
the people I was getting in were a large part people that were coming back into this hobby, so. That worked at a big advantage for me because I could get stuff from 17, 18, and earlier in 19, and people were perfectly happy to break that stuff because they'd never seen it before. And 18 is a great year anyways with all the crazy rookies and everything.
Yeah, that's true.
So
that's a great point.
You know, it's worked out well. 17's getting really hard to find, but
yeah.
And 18's getting there now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that is the thing with the hobby exploding the way it is. I mean, you are seeing that older stuff dry up really fast.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, even some of the analysis we've done on just sealed wax prices. I mean, it's.
Yeah.
The better investment of outside of like landing some of the top hits, the best investment would have been just buying wax of any of the last 5 years and holding it for 2 years.
Right.
You were almost guaranteed to make money.
Even the terrible stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, thank you, group breakers, right? That's helped kind of drive prices.
Right.
But also thank you guys like Gary Vee who keep talking up investing in cards and flipping and all that stuff. So I think it's just a good marketplace to be in. But interesting.
I think I may jump into soccer after hearing him
national.
He's going to drive that market all by himself.
You're like, hey, Gary Vee, can you talk about the market for Street Fighter arcade boxes again?
That would be awesome.
Oh gosh, that's funny. Interesting. Okay, so you've been doing this since the beginning of the year, more or less, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You obviously have a gifting at kind of creating the entertainment environment, kind of the production. What's kind of your thought process when you're producing the stream? What are you trying to achieve?
I'm trying to keep the chat into the break. I'm trying to keep everyone kind of trying to keep their attention.
Okay.
As the break's going on. And the people that aren't even in the break. I mean, we get lots of people in our chat that aren't even in the break. They're just like, oh, I just came in to watch. I'm like, oh,
that's me.
That's really cool. So one thing I did early on was, you know, the selling the teams wasn't working. The random is just exactly what it is. It's completely random. So a lot of people wanted to do one. A lot of people wanted to do other. So I'm like, well, why don't we just do a team draft? So all 30 spots basically get randomized. And then I have a draft. There's like a big draft board behind me. And then everyone just in through the chat just starts picking their teams as we go through the draft order. And that way, the more spots you buy, the better chance you have at getting a better draft pick, the better chance you have at picking the team you want. Or if you don't really care, you just buy one spot and then you get what you get and move on to the break. So, and we can usually fly through the draft now in under 15 minutes for all 30 teams, which is pretty impressive. What I have everyone do, if they're regulars, I have a set default draft list for them unless they want to change it. And then everyone that orders the break, hold on, let me get my phone on here. Anyone that orders the break, they put in, they
stop
type
being
in
so popular.
I know. anyone that orders a break through the website, they type in a draft list. Basically, the team, the order of teams that they would draft, or the order they would draft the teams in. So if they don't make the break, I could just look at the list and be like, okay, they would pick this team next. And it moves along pretty quick. So.
Interesting. Okay.
And a lot of people have said, you know, it's actually one of the most fun parts because you have this anticipation of, you know, oh, is my team going to get picked? Is my team going to get picked? And then they do. And then you got to kind of reel a little bit and be like, okay, well, who's the next best team to pick?
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of just adds that fun draft element to it.
I like it. So do you do that every single time you're breaking?
Yep. Every break now we do the draft.
Okay. Interesting. All right, so engagement's a big deal to you. You want to do whatever you can to get people engaged. What have you kind of learned? I mean, outside of maybe this, the draft. I mean, that's a great way of doing it, obviously, because you got participation just automatically built into your production. What other things have you learned that have been kind of important for you driving engagement during your shows?
You know, during the actual break, that part's kind of hard, and that part can just be kind of dry because you're reading the same names over and over again. Mm-hmm. Part of it might be I'm not real good at pronouncing some names, so that's probably entertaining.
You just mispronounce it just to be entertaining.
Probably, sometimes. There's some names I just cannot say, and a lot of times I'll just start laughing, and I can't, like, stop laughing because I just can't say certain names.
Which name do you struggle with the most?
Oh man, Travis Darnard.
Yeah.
I just call him DiGiorno now.
That's awesome.
So that's one. Whenever his card comes up, I just start laughing, and like the chat starts laughing because they know I'm gonna try to say it, and I'm probably gonna fail for whatever reason. Can't say his name. But Fultonewicz, hey, I can bust that out all day long.
Ooh, that was nice. You gotta watch your mouth, young man.
Yeah. And I think part of it is too, is this hobby is kind of still new to me too. So I get excited about like the dumbest things. So, I mean, just last night's break, we pulled a Jose Mesa auto and I was like through the roof. I was like, dude, Jose Mesa, that's awesome. You know, who's seen an old Jose Mesa auto this year? Nobody. We got one. So, you know, and even if it's like not really that exciting to me, you know, you got to kind of act excited about it. But usually they're pretty excited. I mean, after the sixth O'Hearn auto, you're kind of not really excited anymore. But
hey, he's getting ready to he's figuring things out here. Okay.
All right. Hey,
hold those in the vault.
O'Hearn autos.
Best way to play Ryan O'Hearn is just to stash them away or send them off to PSA, get all your tens, store them up because it's gonna happen.
I pull one that's like not an auto and I'm like, ooh, this is rare. This one does not have ink on.
Exactly. That's when you know it's bad, when the guy is worth more when he's not signing.
Yep.
That's funny.
So besides just trying to, you know, be somewhat entertaining while I'm reading the cards and showing them off, we have, you know, we play on some things. We have some certain characters and cards that we bring out for good luck. I have Wally the Green Monster around here somewhere, and he, you know, prays over packs sometimes, and you know, just goofy stuff like that. I opened a Fairfield box and pulled this card of this player named Billy Joe Robidoux, and it was just like the most amazing name that I'd ever heard. That I have like 2 Billy Joe Robidoux autographs now, rookie cards, and he's like our good luck charm. One of the games I do is called Save Some Dough, but it's spelled like Robidoux, and it's got his face on there. You know, and his, and the best thing is his rookie card, if you ever see it.
I can't say that I have.
All right, it's paired with another player. So you got Billy Joe Robidoux, and then you have, hold on, I got to make sure I get his name right, because it's amazing. I got to pull it out. Mark Funderburk. And that's his only card, because I've looked. And I'm like, Mark Funderburk, he brings the fun, and he brings the thunder. So, you know, we have.
I love it, man. I just love it. Even now I'm giggling about this stuff. It's terrible. That's the way. Yeah. Please do. I'm going to put that in the landing page of the episode.
Yep. So we do the break, and then, like I said before, one thing that always stinks is not getting anything. So I collaborate with a buddy of mine. I'm like, what can we figure out to do like a game show at the end? Something we can give away stuff to people that didn't get a hit. And then we came up, the old game show, I don't know if you've ever seen it, Let's Make a Deal.
Yeah.
It probably came back, actually.
I think it did.
Okay. So basically it's that. We call it Let's Make a Steal. It's got, you know, Ricky Henderson graphics on there. And so anyone that got a hit in the break is automatically ineligible for the game show. So I've actually had people that were sad that they got a hit and want to give it away so they could be in the game show at the end.
Awesome.
So, yeah, basically what I do is we randomly select somebody that's left. I offer out some cards. They can either take them, or we have 3 curtains that they can pick behind. They can either take the cards, or they can pick one of the curtains, and the curtains can have like a zonk, which mm-hmm. is something usually pretty terrible. Like last night, it was a pack of Terminator 2, the movie cards.
Mm-hmm.
We have a mystery pack, which last night was a pack of G.I. Joe cards from like the 80s, which was pretty cool.
That's really cool.
And then we have like vintage packs, modern packs, free break, team packs, just prizes that you can win that I'll send to you if you don't get hit. So, and we do that six more times at the end. Or if it ends up being a break with like a ton of extra people, I'll do it a couple more times towards the end. Just kind of feel it out.
I really wish you would just have more fun with your job here. This just sounds so boring. I'm tired of this.
I know. I wish I could do this all day long.
Right? Side note, Let's Make a Deal has been airing on CBS since 2009 during the day.
Oh, okay. Is it? It's Wayne Brady, right?
Yes.
Okay. I think I did see – when I was doing some research, I was watching some YouTube videos.
Yo, there you go. That's how you justified that, huh? Interesting.
So that concludes our Mondays. Our Monday breaks are always like that. Fridays are something different. I don't know if you even want to get into that, but Fridays are, it's like its own animal.
How can I avoid that question? I mean, my gosh, you teed me up.
Fridays actually kind of lead into something that you had asked me a while ago about retail.
Yeah.
So I don't know if you want to lead into that at all or have me just go.
You know what? You're just hosting and interviewing yourself right now. Just continue. Continue this. This is really nice.
Oh, no. That's terrible.
No, it's great. This is great. Taking my job. No, I love it. No, seriously. I think it's a great segue because you and I had a brief conversation just about retail, and I threw out the idea of maybe finding some contacts that can give you some retail products and take a different angle.
Yeah.
What's the idea on Friday then? What do you got going?
Friday we call it Let's Get Rippin'. It's it's kind of a, so we have a rip shop on the website that has blasters, it has packs, it has hanger boxes. Majority of it is retail. There's some hobby boxes that I'll crack open and put the packs available there. Just recently I started doing blaster breaks, which is like a couple blasters and then a bonus pack of something. And those are usually like $5 for three teams, you know, something a little more reasonably priced. And then I also started doing something called a pack mixer, which I made up. PM packs mixer. So basically I take a bunch of retail packs, like 8 2017 Donruss, 8 2016 Donruss, and basically get up to about 20 or 24 packs. And we do a break, again, three teams, a random, you know, it's $5-6 a person for the three teams. And then we break all those packs. So that's the packs mixer.
You realize like Target, Walmart, Toys R Us, I guess not. Rest in peace, Toys R Us.
Rest in peace.
They've been praying for a guy like you for years to come and buy those packs up to go sell.
And now everyone buys them, so I'm like a year too late.
You're a year too late. You're paying a little bit too much. You could have gotten for 90% off.
I know, right?
This year ago. Yeah.
Yeah, and they're even getting. They're getting. I mean, for a while there, some of the places I was getting them online, I was getting pretty good deals. But it's getting harder. To even get retail stuff. But like you've mentioned, retail is cheaper. And as I started thinking about it, like to give a comparison, a hobby box of 2019 Bowman is up to what? $180, $200, like MSRP probably.
Yeah.
Somewhere up there. Steel City just had a sale selling a box of 2019 Bowman for $80.
Mm-hmm.
So the hobby box has one guaranteed hit. Is that one hit worth $120? Maybe. But you got just as good a chance of getting something out of retail. Well, not as good of a chance, but I guess why I like retail a little bit is you don't know what you're going to get. There's no guarantees, right? Last Friday, we pulled 6 autos out of retail. I mean,
yeah,
we could have cracked 3 hobby boxes and gotten 6 autos. So
did you pull anybody other than Robert Stone Muffin or whatever his name was?
Let's see. We pulled Cam Gallagher. That's one of your guys, isn't it? Or is he a Blue Jay?
He's one of my guys, unfortunately.
One of your guys. Cam Gallagher, I think, out of 25 auto.
You don't have to go through all the autos. I was just kidding.
Yeah. I'm trying to think if there's any like outstanding ones that we pulled. I can't remember. But go watch the video.
You know what? Gosh darn it, I will. Okay. I'm with you. I mean, I don't know if the logic of not knowing what you're going to get is sound, but I think that's probably why people pay more.
I'm trying to sell here.
No, but seriously though, I think your point is that it's apparently not as bad as you think. There's a bigger delta between there's too big of a delta between retail and hobby, and I would 1,000% agree with that.
And I've actually had really good luck with 19 Bowman retail this year, like better luck than I have with hobby probably, and I hadn't done that much hobby, but it's been very good to me.
Well, it's funny because there's been a lot of products that have been like that. I mean, like Heritage High Number for baseball has been I hate to use the word like fire because everyone uses, but it's been really hot, right? Everyone's talking about how great it is hot, you know, on the retail side. But there's been a lot of products like that. And like we've talked about off air, it's the reason why it's priced so well is because it's protected. It will not go above MSRP.
Right.
The problem is that it's hard to get, right? Unless you're one of those guys who has a good relationship with XL Marketing, right? Who delivers these to Target and Market to Walmart and all that stuff. Unless you have a guy, it's you got to go battle a bunch of other grown men, and it's like that's the last thing you want to do. So,
it's
unfortunately.
Yep. So hopefully people won't jump on that bandwagon. Retail's terrible. Don't. Nobody yeah. buy retail. It's dumb.
Exactly. Exactly. Leave it for the kids.
Yes. But you can't. You can get some pretty good sales. Yeah. You know, Heritage, I guess it's called Low Number, wasn't an amazing product, but Steel City just had boxes on sale for $39 for a 24-pack. Hmm. I mean, if you're doing PAX mixers like me,
that's golden. That's, yeah,
it's perfect. And you don't know what you're gonna get, right?
you like this logic.
It's a mystery. Well, here's the thing, right? You buy a box of I'm gonna try to explain it. You buy a box of Heritage Hobby, like the Low Number.
Yeah.
And you're so excited for that hit, and it's some lame Jersey clubhouse card or whatever, and you're like, oh, well, was that worth the extra $40 I paid for this box?
Yeah.
Probably not.
On the flip side with retail, you're saying you expect to get nothing. So when you get something, you're like, oh my gosh.
Exactly. You're like, what? I just got something that probably isn't that great.
But I got it in retail, so therefore it's great.
Yes. See?
Oh, man.
You got it.
Manufacturers are loving this right now. We're really doing a good job selling retail. That's funny. So let's talk a little bit about what you've learned first. What are we at? Nine months. What you've learned about kind of marketing within the hobby. What's kind of worked with you as you've grown your social presence and kind of grown the site? What's been the best way for you to get the word out about your business?
Well, I started with Google Ads and, you know, just felt like I was throwing money out the window at that point.
Yeah.
I do a lot of posting on Instagram. I'll call it posting. I do a lot of posting on Instagram of the same thing. Or I used to. I don't really have to anymore. Because I've gotten big enough now to where I don't really have to do any advertising. Because I'm kind of at a good place. Mm-hmm. But the Instagram kind of grew a little bit. And a lot of the Instagramming, what I would actually do, besides posting like the breaks, is I would post out like memes of like Kevin Hart looking confused and being like, are you back in the hobby and like totally overwhelmed and confused at what breaks are or what's going on? Then, you know, send me a message or join our Instagram group. And then we just kind of bring people into this community that we have on Instagram. And they'd get into their first break and it would just kind of grow from there. Hopefully they don't spend all their money in the first month because they're super excited and they're like, I can't do any more breaks for a while.
Right.
Because, you know, you get a lot of people like that. And I was like that. Probably still am like that. But I have an avenue now.
Exactly.
But so a lot of it was that, just kind of harnessing the people that were new like I was. Like when I first heard about breaks, I was like, what is this? This is crazy. So that was one big thing. Growing the YouTube was hard. I found Jabs. YouTube has this.
You're talking about the Super Chat stuff, right?
Yes. So they have Super Chat.
So give the 30 seconds on Super Chat, because you told this to me before and I was blown away. So yes. Most people don't know this, I guarantee it.
Okay. So if your YouTube channel has over 1,000 subs and I think it has to have so many viewing hours, Super Chat is unlocked.
I love when you say unlocked. Like you just
angels come down.
Right, the cheat code has been activated.
Like I kind of hope like when I log into YouTube that day, like it does that. Like angels appear and like Super Chat unlocked.
But before you get into it, what is your subscriber count at? Are you close to 1,000?
No, I'm at like 530, something like that.
Oh, please.
I know it's a tough game out there. but what I did is, Jab's channel is like 40,000 strong now, I think.
My gosh,
he just broke
like
the 40K. Yeah. His 79 break had 3,500 people live.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it was crazy. The break that didn't go so well had 3,500 people watching.
Yeah, that still blows my mind how that went down, but that's a topic for another day.
Yeah. So basically what you do is when you're in chat, you can super chat. So basically you can send, in this case, Jabs money, and then depending on how much you spend, $1.99, $5, $10, it sticks a little like a button up above the chat.
Okay.
With a timer on it based on how much you spent is how long the timer lasts. People click on that and sub to your channel. But what it does is it also appears to Eric Jabs while he's streaming. You know, his chat has 500 people on. There's no way he is reading that and can be engaged with that. It's just like chaos in there. But the super chats pop up so he can see those and read them. And he does. Like every single one, he makes a point of reading it. And he is super good if you're not being totally spammy and doing like a 99-cent super chat every 5 minutes. if you're respectful and do like, you know, I'll usually do like one $10 super chat and be like, you know, hey, Jabs, how's it going? I got this going on or whatever. And he'll be like, hey, you know, AIAB Card Breaks is doing this. You guys should go sub to him. Check him out. And he'll keep going on with his break. But he always makes a point to read them and give you a shout out. Thankfully, he's seen my channel a few times now. Wow. And I've done it enough times now, and I'm also a Patreon and a member of his channel. So
he owes it to you.
He gives me a little bit more attention. You know, he talks about my technology and he talks about my graphic overlays and gives me a little bit more props. And plus he pulled me a Chris Sale auto out of 25 the other day on an archive, which was pretty exciting.
Nice. That is great. So wait, yeah. So you pay for a super chat.
Mm-hmm.
That money goes to who?
That money, 70% of it goes to Jabs family, and then 30% of it goes to YouTube.
Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? What a crock.
Yeah, they get a chunk. When I started looking into it, I was like, oh, I could do like, you know, auctions or something and just have people pay through Super Chat. And I'm like, nope, that ain't going to happen.
Yeah, no kidding. You're not taking that type of fee either. Right. Wow, okay. So it sounds like you did that a few times and that paid dividends. Yes. So that's interesting.
You know, that's 100% my market right there. So
yeah,
you can't
true.
Target any better than that.
Wow.
So those people, and then I had this crazy idea to do a completely free break. Like,
so dumb.
3 weeks ago.
And how did that go?
You know, it went better than expected. It was kind of interesting. I put up a video. I said, you have to comment and subscribe, blah, 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 that whole marketing thing. Mm-hmm. I ended up with like 158 comments. My subs, I think were like at 100 and something at the time, and they jumped up to like 350. I mean, it just skyrocketed.
So well worth it.
It was well worth it. I did this really cool video where I picked the people and I took them down because I didn't want people to get confused. But basically, for some reason I can't do anything simple. So I had like looping videos of old baseball games hitting home runs. And like anytime the home run was hit, like it would splash like the winner's name on the screen and then it would go away. And it basically did that 30 times for the 30 people.
That's really cool.
So I'll probably use it again at some point.
Yeah.
But it was funny because I was like, you know, I had two rules. If you got the free break, one, you had to email me, and I had my email on the giveaway page, your address, and you had to PayPal $2 to help for shipping. So my idea was the complete freeloaders wouldn't even bother, right? Because they had to pay $2. So that would at least keep the people that are just going for free stuff all the time away. I hope that doesn't sound mean, but you know what I mean.
That sounds strategic, which I like.
So, and, you know, it helped pay for shipping a little bit.
Yep.
Because it was completely free. But at the end of the day, like, I picked 30 names, and it probably took me 4 or 5 days, and then we still had, like, 10 people that hadn't even responded. So then I picked another 10 names. I picked 10 alternates to begin with because I figured that would happen. And then I still had to go back and just start a stream and be like, I'm just going to pick 10 people from the live chat at this point because I can't fill a free break for for whatever reason.
No kidding.
So, but we got it filled. We had a really good time. We ended up, we broke like 2015 Donruss, which is not a super great product. And we ended up pulling a Javi Baez rookie auto out of 99 was the nice. Auto we pulled from it.
There you go.
So it worked out really well. And then I have a bunch of people that have stuck around since then. So
that's great.
It worked.
So you a couple strategies to summarize. You took advantage of jabs, paid for Super Chat.
Well, I don't know if I took advantage of
it. No, I didn't mean it that way. No, you took advantage of the channel. That was an opportunity for you. That's a route you took, which is great.
Yes. And that's why
unique.
I want to at least specify that I do make sure that I'm a Patreon of his and I'm a member of his YouTube channel. So I don't just go in there and Super Chat. I make sure I try to support him the best I can. I buy into his breaks every once in a while if I can. So, because I'm very appreciative of the shout outs that he has given me.
Yeah, no, I will, since you and I spoke for the first time a month ago, I have checked out Jabs too, just because I was curious, because I hadn't really seen him before.
Yeah.
I'm relatively impressed with him as a guy. He seems like he's a pretty legit dude. And although he has not responded to my request for an interview. You know what? Maybe I need to go drop $1,000 super chat. You know what? Forget it. I will.
Let's do the super chat. It's interesting because I have a lot of people that are like, I emailed him. He doesn't email me back. I've emailed him. The times where he has emailed me back, it's been like immediate. So I don't know if maybe I just catch him like at the perfect time and he emails me back.
So here's the true test. You're going to send a note and say, hey, you know what? You should totally jump on Ty's podcast.
I will.
All right.
I'll send him a message and be like, hey, listen to me on Ty's podcast.
I talk all about you and how I took advantage of you.
Yeah. Yeah. Make sure you mention me while you're on.
That's funny. I think he would understand that.
Well, you know,
he's doing just fine.
You know, I told you before how he got so big, right?
But tell the rest of the audience.
Well, I mean, I don't know if this is how his channel grew so much, but he had bought a World Series ticket. I don't remember which year it was. I think it was maybe 2013 World Series from, I think it was StubHub. And there was an error on their website, and he bought the ticket for like $3 or something. And then they tried to like come after him and tell him, no, the price was actually supposed to be $300 or whatever. And he fought it, and he's like, no, it was $3 when I bought it. So he was like on CNN, like talking about it. And,
wow.
And some other news channels, and I think that's when his channel started to grow. I would assume so. Anyways, you know.
That is interesting. I forgot already his background. That's an interesting way to gain some popularity.
Yes.
Was he already doing breaks at that time? Do you know?
No, I think he was just doing like ball hawking videos.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. I did check into that.
He's a season ticket holder for the Pirates, so he'd get in like during batting practice and just get balls like is it Hample? The guy that caught A-Rod's ball.
Oh, gotcha.
And sold it to charity. Jeff Hample?
I
think that's him. Anyway.
He's a Pittsburgh guy?
Jabs is, yeah.
Okay. We'll have to see if Shanice connected to him anyway, since Shanice's out in Pittsburgh.
There you go. Yeah. Shanice seems to know. He does a lot of flea market videos, which makes me jealous because we don't have flea markets here because it's 900 degrees.
Oh, that's true.
Nobody wants to be outside.
That's a good point. That makes a lot of sense. So what's kind of your goals going forward then with AIAB? What are you hoping to do kind of rest of the year and then kind of heading into 2020?
Well, it's interesting because right now, next month, yesterday's break had sold out by like over the weekend. Next week's break is already sold out.
Awesome.
The break after that is like halfway sold out. So now I'm a little bit in panic mode going, all right, what?
And this is before this podcast hits. You're going to be turning away people. This is going to, I'm warning you now.
So
wait, do you not have enough product then to add more? Is that a problem for you?
No, I do. It's more of a time thing.
Okay. Got it.
I don't know that I want to do more. The Friday rip shops are going like 4 or 5 hours.
Wow.
So, of me just sitting here, people buying stuff, me ripping it.
What does your wife think about that? Is she cool with that?
She is.
Okay, cool.
Usually Friday nights, I mean, she's an OBGYN. She works a ton. You know, the kids are grown up enough now that they kind of do their own thing a lot of times. So if I'm in the garage and, you know, if I'm in the garage doing baseball cards for 4 hours on a Friday night.
Oh, gosh, Dad. You're doing his thing again.
Yeah. So, you know, she's cool. She's totally cool with it.
Awesome.
So it's not a product thing. It's a time thing.
Okay.
One thing I thought about doing to just kind of relieve the stress a little bit is implementing a higher end break.
Oh, going like against your Bowman style.
Yeah. Just throw it on the website. And then that would be something that will break when it fills. And do more of like a 10 spot snake team draft. You know, you get three teams, but it's still a draft. But it's only 10 people I have to ship to, so it's a little less work that way. But for the people that want to spend, you know, $20, $30 on a break instead, I don't necessarily alienate the people that want to stick with the $10 breaks that I always do. But some people have shown interest in, you know, 2018 Topps Chrome or 2018 Bowman Chrome or 2019 Bowman. Bowman Chrome's about to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So stuff like that. And, you know, and then, you know, doing the 10 team or the 10 spot, three teams per, I don't have to really worry about pricing out teams and doing all that stuff, using all your data. I don't have to use your data. Thank goodness. I love your data.
Wow. That's reassuring,
but it's like work for me, man. I got,
really selling Breaker Culture well too. Really appreciate it.
The data is amazing though. We did do one Bowman break early on, and I totally had your graphic up on the screen because I was really honest with everybody when I did the Bowman break. I was like, listen, don't pick your favorite team. Okay. Here is the breakdown done by Breaker Culture at breakerculture.com. So, you know, look over this chart, and then I didn't even sell the last five spots. Like, I only sold 25 spots of it because I'm like, nobody wants the last five spots of this break.
Nice.
So.
Thanks, Ty. Appreciate it.
Educational break of like, you know, don't do what I did for my first break.
Yeah. That's funny.
But yeah, no, your information is awesome.
Thanks. Nice.
So recovery. Yeah, that's one thing. Besides that, I don't really know. I don't know what.
Okay. Hey, that's fair.
I launched Patreon, so I have.
You
Patreon
did.
Now. I did.
Tell me about this. Tell me about your idea.
Nine patrons already. You know, my highest tier is almost sold out. So, that's really cool.
That is awesome. Because you and I just recently talked about that. And side note, I'm building my Patreon right now too. So
nice.
But yeah, mine's a little different, obviously. Oh. I got to figure out how to really add value. Yeah. I don't have a product.
Get all the data in there.
Yeah, hey, data nerds. That's great, man. I'm really glad to hear that for you. That's I'm gonna have to be your 10th. I'm gonna have to jump in there, be a Patreon.
Oh, cool.
See what you're doing.
Yeah, it was one of those things where I was like, man, I don't want to like alienate people, because some people just can't afford the Patreon. And that's one thing that a lot of people kind of got turned off on Jabs a bit, is all his breaks are through Patreon. So you have to be a Patreon to get into the breaks.
Yep.
And some people thought that's where I was heading. So, but I was like, no. The Patrons like know what breaks are coming ahead of time, but they don't have early access to them. We may do breaks that are like Patreon specific, like just for them. Like we're going to break a box of 2003 Pinnacle or 2000 and something Pinnacle, 2007 or something, you know, just for fun, break some different stuff with the patrons. But, by no way is it like going to take away. Basically all my patron is doing is, the people that buy into breaks a lot. You don't have to pay for shipping anymore, and I ship like once or twice a month to you now.
Mm-hmm.
Like the top tier one gets you a free break, and the free shipping, and then you save money on the rip shop on Fridays. And then, you know, I know people's PC, so I keep a little box of all of them and throw cards that they like in those boxes. But I made sure I limited it, so I wasn't like, oh, I got 100 people that I need to get Acuna Juniors to.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Well, gosh.
There's a lot.
That does seem like a lot, but it's Patreon breaks it down nice and succinctly for you, so easy to digest. I will check it out.
And we do have, I didn't even mention, on Fridays, we actually have two other games that go on Fridays, too. So, for people that want to know, we always pick, like, past players or current players.
Mm-hmm.
And if we pull their cards during any pack rips that night, you know, we all scream in excitement, and then I do a giveaway. I donate money to Extra Life, and then we do a giveaway for coupons or something. I have, like, a game of Plinko from Price is Right, and you can win, like, you can get the free break in the middle. It's tough. One person's done it, but there's that, and then I have there's also the punch game from Price is Right. So you can buy punch for packs on the website, and then basically you get to punch four holes, and then you get random wax packs that we rip. So yeah,
you are truly one of a kind. You are the game show host of the hobby. I'm nominating you now. I think it's really incredible what you're doing. It's unique. You found your niche. You found what makes you unique, and you're running with it. And your business is growing, right? You're seeing the fruits of it finally, which is awesome.
It's really good. Awesome. It's good. And for the people that have asked me for my draft software, it's nothing personal, but I kind of want to keep it.
Yeah.
I kind of want to keep it mine for now. I'm actually developing something for kind of the YouTube auction community. I don't know if you've ever watched an auction like on YouTube.
No, I haven't.
Oh, so dudes just like throw out cards and people just type in numbers in the chat and then they sell them. Just an auction. So I'm actually developing a software. It's pretty close to being done that helps with that process. It's got a separate app that you can send in your bids and
scrapes
the chat for the bid amounts. So yeah, we're going to test it again on Sunday. See how that's going. So
incredible.
Not really my thing, but I'm trying to, I feel bad because people are like, hey, can we get that draft thing? Can you make one for football? And I'm like, no, I really don't want to. I'm not like a jerk, I promise, but
hey man, you can't give everything away. You're giving a lot of stuff away already. You can't give everything away. You gotta
sound like my wife.
Hey, you know what? There we go.
Are you making money at this? You're giving away a lot of stuff.
You know, but seriously, I say this all the time. First year is great. You probably hope to break even. But year two, year three, you better the heck show your wife some good numbers.
Yeah.
Or it's not gonna work. You won't exist anymore, and that's not good for anyone because we need your lighthearted, entertaining breaks around.
Well, thank you. As long as I get paid zero for my time, then I'm doing all right.
Your logic once again comes through.
As long as my salary is zero, I'm in the black.
Oh wow! All right, we're gonna wrap this up with some rapid fire. Before we do that, where can folks find you? And
all right,
I'm putting you on the spot here. Is there any sort of coupon code you have or anything that you want to give away?
You know, they're all sold out, man.
What?
It's a coupon code, but you can't really use it. Sorry.
All right. Well, I guess I got to cut this part out.
No, I can give a code for like Friday's Rip Shop.
Okay. How about Breaker Culture is the code?
Yeah, I can do that.
Done.
When is this going to air? Like a couple of weeks?
Oh, we'll talk about that offline. Probably sometime 2020.
I don't have to really worry about the coupon code right now.
You can tell it's late and we're both just totally throwing stuff out. All right. So anyway, where can folks find you?
All right. AIABcardbreaks.com. That's where you can purchase all the breaks. You can purchase everything for the Rip Shop. Rip Shop always happens on Friday. So anything you buy from the Rip Shop that week will get ripped on Friday. And it will combine shipping with a break on Monday if you're in the break. I'm on Twitter at AIABCard, Instagram at AIABCardBreaks. Those are probably the three best places. AIABcarbreaks@gmail.com to get me that way.
Enter code Breaker Culture for free yes. Street Fighter arcade with your break. No?
That'd be sweet. Okay. But yes, you can use code Breaker Culture for any purchases from the Rip Shop, and yes. I will make that include all the blaster breaks that we do on Fridays as well. That way you can at least get into a break that way.
Amazing. Amazing. Good stuff. Great stuff. You ready for rapid fire?
I think so.
All right. What game show, if you could choose any, would you be the host of?
Oh.
I'm keeping these centered around your world here.
Yeah. You know, I got to go with Press Your Luck, just because like that's the game, the show that everyone remembers, right?
Press Your Luck.
With the whammies?
Oh, shoot.
Big money, okay. No whammies.
Nice. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Press Sweet. Your. A lot of people have asked me, are you going to make a Press Your Luck game? And I'm like, you can't, because you got to have that timing of pressing a button. I can't press the button for you. That's not fun. So, no whammies for us.
Okay, so let's flip the script. What game show would you be on if you could be on any game show?
I think Hollywood Squares.
Oh, nice. Nice. Yeah. Good call. I like it. Okay.
Center.
You're right. You're right. Exactly. Let's make a deal. We talked about this earlier. 2009, it came on CBS. It replaced a soap opera during the day.
Oh, wow.
What soap opera was that?
Let's see. I know Days of Our Lives is still on. I don't know. I don't even know any soap operas.
Thank you.
All My Children?
If you knew that, I was going to be really upset. So thank you for not knowing the answer to that. Guiding Light was the correct answer.
Oh, okay. Good. Yeah, I'm glad it wasn't Days of Our Lives, because I actually did watch that growing up.
Okay.
Summers were boring, man. It was hot outside. We couldn't do
anything. No kidding. Jeez. Just go out and hang out with the sand ticks.
Yeah. We did watch a lot of WGN Cubs.
You know what's sad is the only thing I remember from WGN growing up was the Waltons. It aired on WGN for some reason, and like my parents would only let us kids watch like the old school. It's like, wow. Andy Griffiths, Beverly uh-huh. Hillbillies, and the Waltons. And that's
so
all.
You were like, you were super excited when TV Land came out, huh?
Oh my gosh, yeah, because I got to watch I Love Lucy.
Yeah. Mr. Ed, late night. I watched TV Land like late night. I don't know. I was a weird kid. But anyway.
That is awesome. What's your favorite all-time arcade game?
Favorite all-time. Wow. It tells you something that I even have to think about it, huh?
Yeah.
I would probably have to go with Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo.
Who's your favorite character?
Ken.
Okay. Nice.
Rock the Ken. I rock the white gi Ken.
Beautiful.
Come at me. Anybody want to play me, let me know.
Ooh. When you know that when you have a booth at the National, it's inevitable, you're going to have a Street Fighter arcade console there.
I'll bring my giant arcade in a box.
It'd be so good. You wouldn't sell any breaks, but you would have a long line of Street Fighters. This is one I kind of prepared you for, but
okay,
because we kind of talked about this, but you get to get rid of one trilogy. Which trilogy do you get rid of?
Oh yeah, it's the Star Wars.
I just don't get that. Why would you get rid of it?
The bad trilogy. Why would I get rid of it? It's terrible.
But it just makes the other one so much better.
Does it though?
Yeah, maybe you're right. Have you seen the trailer for the is it Rise of the Skywalker? No, what's it called? The new one. It just came out yesterday. The trilogy.
Oh, no. I did not see it. No.
Okay.
I'm not a huge Star Wars guy.
Yeah, obviously, since you would get rid of it. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay.
Sorry.
That's all right. Last question. Best advice you've ever been given?
Is it cliche to just say, be yourself? I mean, that was when I first started this, my best friend said, dude, you could totally do this. Just be yourself on there. And, People will like you.
I like it.
Got it.
Be yourself. Wayne Brady.
Yourself.
Yes. Awesome. Great stuff. Thank you so much for readjusting your schedule.
Yeah.
Folks, go check out Ed AIAB and have a great week.
Thanks, man. I'm sorry if I kind of overtook the interview there.
You'll pay for it. You'll pay for it somehow. No problem.
All right, buddy.
Talk to you.
All right.
All right, there you have it. Thanks so much for listening to episode 71 with Ed from AIAB. That was a late night for the both of us. West Coast, so here in the central side of the world, it was really late for me, but I tried to cut out some of my rambling in there. Hopefully you didn't notice too much of the editing. But Ed's awesome, guys. Hope you get a chance to go check him out. Be sure to go enter for free on YouTube. Just comment on the episode 71 link. And go subscribe to the both of us, AIAB and Breaker Culture, and you'll be entered for free to the Bowman Draft. You get a chance to see how Ed runs his breaks. He's got some really cool software that he built himself to make those interactive drafts and breaks. Just a really fun time. So check it out. Episode 72 coming out here at the end of the week. So hang tight for that. Another great guest. But as always, go check out BreakerCulture.com. Leave us feedback at whatever platform you use. Most of all, just have an incredible week. Thanks, guys.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.